Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We wish to remind you that we will have our quarterly congregational business meeting next Sunday, that's June 6th, directly following the morning worship service, and we encourage you to attend. Also, today we will have our monthly fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and all are invited for good food and fellowship. Please note in your bulletin that following the 2 o'clock service this afternoon at Pacific Hills Manor, all other activities for this afternoon are canceled due to it being the last Sunday of the month. Please refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 532, God of Our Fathers. Continue our worship now with hymn number 529, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Stand now as we sing hymn number 531, America the Beautiful.
Oh, you beautiful, gracious God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence with thanksgiving for the land that you have given us, so fair and so free. We are grateful, O God, for the people who have came to live here with different customs, different language, but melted in one heart and melted in one ambition, freedom. We are glad that this freedom was kept through the effort of many and through the life of many. Not only our freedom, but also the idea of freedom proclaimed through Europe and defended by our soldiers. Each time that we read in history what took place in order for us to be free today here, we are in awe of admiration for those who die on our behalf so that we can enjoy a free country. And so, Father, today, more than ever, we revere those people who have served in the Air Force, in the Army, in the Navy, in the Marine, in the Coast Guard, people who have put their life on our behalf, so that we today can still proclaim the gospel with freedom, walk through the streets of a free America, and trying to protect other countries who claim and want to be free. Thank you, Father, for that. We also are thankful that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus who make people free. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And so, Father, we are committed to the gospel of Christ Jesus, committed to the great memorial day of Exodus 12, where the Lamb died for a nation. And so, Father, we know that a Lamb in Calvary Cross was slain so that we, the people of the world, may enjoy spiritual freedom forever. Now, Father, bless our missionaries, those who are Americans who perhaps their heart have a different beat today because of the remembrance of Memorial Day. Lord, for Fred and Carol Lewis in Seville, for Carol and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, and Fred and Carol Lewis, Lord, they're back in America, and they are visiting with their parents, staying for her daughter's graduation. Thank you, Lord, that they can do that in their life. Eusebio and Maritza Perez, who are in Benalmadena. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Andaño in Guatemala. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, who need direction and strength here in our area. For the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, reaching the young people. And for Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Daniel today and connected on the race over there. Bless him, give him strength, and protect the home as he's out of the home and his trip. And for Martha Peretti, who diligently moves on week after week with the rehabilitation center in the hope that these people may find Jesus. And Lord, I pray for myself that you give me a strength for the day. I have been very sick the last 2 days with food poisoning and very weak. And Laura, thank you for your protection, and thank you for the body who defend themselves against foreign agencies that comes in and try to destroy it. But I'm weak, and I pray for your strength. Thank you for your kindness, and give us the opportunity to preach the gospel. And Father, this church is sustained by itself. The people are the givers, and I thank you for those who give voluntarily, willingly, and above what they can. Thank you, Lord, so that we can proclaim the gospel not only here in our church, but through the internet and through the CD ministry, tape ministry. Father, is that so beautiful? All the expenses are paid. Our properties are paid because your people are willing to give. Thank you for the offering, and thank you for the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.
of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage while the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible successor. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Exodus. And if you're using the Bible provided in the pew, turn to page 42. We will be reading Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word? Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the obedient sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has made it possible for us now to come boldly to the throne of grace. We thank you for those in our armed forces who have fought to preserve us a nation, and for those presently engaged in battle, that we might live in safety. And as we just prayed in song, we pray that you protect them by your might, great God our King. We pray for our nation that we would turn from false religion and idols and look only to you again and understand and acknowledge, as we once did, that we have received nothing except that which comes from your hand. We pray now for your servant, our teacher, and our pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for pastors and others in our congregation for their military service for our country. Pray for Pastor and Mrs. Otero's health. We pray for quick recovery for Pastor, that he may continue in the ministry for many years to come. We pray for any unbelievers listening on the radio and the internet, that they would come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from judgment. And in his name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. Memorial Day originally was called different. Was called Decoration Day. It's a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation for service. There are many, many stories as you read the book of histories as to its actual beginning, with over 24 cities and towns laying claim of the beginning of the birthplace of Memorial Day. There is also evidence that organized women groups in the South were decorating graves before the end of the Civil War. There is a hymn that was published in 1867 that reads, "Kneel where our loves are sleeping," by Nella Sweet, and carry a sign at the end of the hymn to the ladies of the South who are decorating the graves of the Confederate dead. Officially, declare Waterloo, New York, was the place that this nation officially declared the birthplace of the Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May of 1966. And it is difficult to prove conclusively the origin of the day. It's more likely that it had little beginnings everywhere where people went into the tomb of their beloved ones and dedicated the flower in their remembrance. Now, Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order Number 11, and was first observed on the 13th May, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of the Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. Now, the first state to officially recognize that holiday was in New York in the year 1873. And by the year 1890, it was recognized by all the northern states of the United States. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring those who die on the Civil War for those who die in any war in the country. It is now celebrated in almost every state of the Union on the last Monday of the month of May, even though the South celebrates Memorial Day on different dates also. For example, January 19 is Memorial Day in Texas. April 26, Memorial Day in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi. May 10, Memorial Day in South Carolina. And on June 3, Jefferson's birthday, is the Memorial Day for Louisiana and Tennessee. Since the late 50s, on the Thursday before the Memorial Day, the 1,200 soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry placed small American flags at each of the more than 260,000 gravestones at Arlington Cemetery. And they patrolled 24 hours a day during the weekend to ensure that every soldier who died for this country have a flag representing them. And since 1998, on the Saturday before the observed day for Memorial Day, the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America place a candle at each of approximately 15,300 grave site soldiers buried in Frederick Bark, Pennsylvania National Military Cemetery. Tremendous day for America. You can read on and on and on and on and read the thousands of stories of soldiers who have died so that you and I can have absolute freedom, a freedom that unless you step out of this country and step for 2 or 3 weeks in a familiar environment in another country, you can recognize the America, even though we lost a lot, we're still free. We're still free. There is no other country in the world that can enjoy the freedom of our country. There is no other country that has idea of freedom like our country. They have no absolute idea of freedom. I thought for a moment how grateful Raquel and I are that we one day took the decision to come here. When you are on the 20s, you do anything. And at 27, without language and without anybody except a man that I didn't know personally, just through a letter, we flew through the impossible. I thank the ambassador of the United States who believed me that I will serve his country. And I remember the day when in his office we brought the visa, all sealed, and he opened the visa. And he looked at the documentation and said, my diploma certified by United States, everything there. My friend who didn't know me sent a check of $20,000 in 1965 to guarantee my life in America. And because I built a church in Argentina, I never charged them. You never know when you do work for the Lord what really happened. And he said to me, well, you don't know the language, you don't know anybody. And he looked at me and Raquel and little me, 2 years old. He said, but you're going to make it. And he said, shake me my hand. He said, God bless you in America. And a month later, we flew to this country. I thank God. I thank God that I am in America. I was anxious to finish the war and to step into the legal terms so that I can become a citizen of this country. I served this country without being a citizen. But after serving, what a joy to be in America. Now I thought for a moment how all of these patriotic, wonderful influence of a life, the society in which we live, how these relate to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here in the morning service to worship the Lord and to love the Lord and to understand what God has done for you. Well, the Holy Scripture said that those who have believed in God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his atoning work, have become citizen of another country. Will you turn your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 20. And that is on page 692 in case you need that assistance. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And the Bible says to us, that when we have become a believer in Christ, now we are citizens of another country. Philippians 3:20 reads in this way, for our conversation, and some of your Bibles have, maybe if you have a New King James, others have corrected that word conversation, our citizenship, she said, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And consequently, you have a dual citizenship. You are a citizen of the United States of America, and if you are a believer in Christ, you are a citizen of the heavens, of the Bible. And in America, we have a Memorial Day, all right? Tomorrow, the last Monday of the month of May, will be Memorial Day for America. Now, what about our citizen in heaven? Does the citizen in heaven have a Memorial Day? Yes, it does. Turn your Bible to the reading that our brother have done for us in in Exodus chapter 12. And you will see there that we, as citizens of heaven, have a Memorial Day. If you look in Exodus chapter 12, and you look in verse 14, the Bible says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. The believer is a citizen of heaven and have a memorial day. This day shall be for you for a memorial. Let's look in detail on the scripture that our brother read in Exodus 12 and see how this Memorial Day is set. I give you a very briefing of the American Memorial Day that was originated perhaps by some ladies who have a heart to do this, and later on it became popular in the minds of generals, and it became very possible that the South was the first to celebrate and remember the death and so on. And then very soon the United States constitutionally accepted that day. Well, the same thing happened here spiritually. And let's take a look. I'm going to share with you at least five things on that Memorial Day of the Christian, the believer. Five important factors. They are very similar in sense to what the Memorial Day for the Americans really are. Number one, the Memorial Day of the believer, it was set on the 10th day. Remember, the President General Logan said that there will be a day set on May 30. May 30 at that time in 1868 was Monday. And later on, the Congress of the United States accepted that the last Monday of every May will be Memorial Day. And so, here is a date for the believer's Memorial Day. It was set on the 10th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. You're in Hebrews 12. Let's read verse 1 and verse 2. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the 10 years to you." And so we have then the date. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Verse 3. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man's a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." So we know, if you go to the book of Nehemiah, that the first month of Hebrew is called Nisan. And you know, if you go a little bit in the calendar of King Artaxerxes, that Nisan falls between April 10 or April 15 in our calendar. And so when Jesus was born, he was born under that calendar. The first month of the year was April and not January. And so in April 10th, then, the scripture said, that's your Memorial Day, April 10th or 15, whatever. The 10th day of the first month is Memorial Day. Secondly, it was a celebration about freedom. Now, take a look in Exodus 12 and verse 40 and 41 and 42. It was a celebration about freedom. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. "Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Now, if you remember Acts 7, there Stephen said there was only 400 years. There is no discrepancy. When the book of Hebrews count the sojourn, is not from the time they were in Egypt, but from the time that Jacob left and took 30 years for Jacob to walk from the land where he was with the entire family and settle in Egypt. And then there he spent 400 years. So it's 430 years from the time that Jacob left the land. Now verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it is a night to be observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. You remember the book of Exodus well, that took Moses 10 times to go unto Pharaoh to try to find freedom. And Pharaoh, each time that he went, got harder on Moses and on his people. But finally, God has made a way. And God made a way in a manner that was possible for Israel to be free totally. God's way are always like that. And so God said clearly there was a night to be remembered, because that night Israel will be free. A night to be remembered. Memorial Day, the Christian Memorial Day, is a night of freedom. Number three, it was a Memorial Day, listen carefully, for the Hebrew nation only. Look in verse 43. It was a Memorial Day for the Hebrew nation only. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, that shall no stranger eat thereof. The Christian Memorial Day is a Christian Memorial Day for the Christian only. It was for the Hebrew nation only. Nobody else can participate. This freedom of Israel was totally placed upon the Hebrew nation. More, it was a celebration also for naturalized citizens. If you were not born in Israel, but you were a naturalized citizen, you also can participate. Look in verse 44. But every man's servant, verse 44, that is bought for money, that is the way that you get the citizenship into Israel, every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, when that person has been placed in the covenant of Israel, then shall he eat thereof. And so the memorial day here for the Hebrew nation is a memorial day in which somebody born into the nation can celebrate it, or somebody who was bought and now placed into the family and circumcised and placed into the spiritual covenant can be participated. The question then is this: how can we participate in this Memorial Day, since it was a Hebrew holiday? Since this is a Hebrew holiday, Exodus chapter 12, how can we Christians, 6,000 years later, participate and said and claim this is a Memorial Day for the Christians also? How can we do that? Well, the explanation of that, put one hand in Exodus and go with me to the scriptures in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, you go with me there, and you will see an explanation through history of what God has done. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 11, 12, and 13. Wherefore, remember, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to people who were not Hebrew, that ye being in the time past Gentiles, Gentiles as anybody who was not a Hebrew by race, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make of himself or between one new man, so making a peace. And look at verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Tremendous. Tremendous. The holiday in the book of Exodus is a holiday for the Hebrew people only. But today, God has not separated the Hebrew and the Christians. We are both one. Look a few pages to the left in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3 in the book of Galatians, where the Bible said in verse 28 and in verse 29 of Galatians chapter 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here what we have, a remarkable instruction from God. Something took place between Exodus 12 and today. Something took place in the history of mankind that made possible for me, a Gentile, to be a participant and a citizen of heaven, just like a Jew. Something really moves on, and something now, as Paul said to the Philippians, ye are citizens of heaven. On what right Paul can say that? When we read in Exodus, the only citizen that God recognized is somebody born Hebrew or being naturalized. On what right? Paul will tell the people that you can be a citizen of heaven, and therefore you can really enjoy a memorial day in which you celebrate your spiritual freedom. Satan is no longer bounding you. The gates of hell are broken. God has taken your life out. Your destination to hell and condemnation forever has been removed, and now you have been placed free to live forever with God. On what right? What really took place that happened? Well, it is explained in the Bible, you know. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. God explained what took place. It's just exciting. Absolutely remarkable. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And now, look. According, verse 4, as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And here is the clue. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Wow. God has adopted me. That's what he has done. You know, when you go to adopt a baby, you go to an agency. And who is the agent? Look here. He said, having predestined us unto the children to himself, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It is through Christ Jesus that God has adopted me into his kingdom. If you are in Ephesians, move your Bible a little bit to the left to Romans, into chapter 8. And verse 15 in the book of Romans. And Paul, now talking to the Romans in chapter 8 and in verse 15, is declaring the same story. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The reason why you and I can pray, our Father which is in heaven is because we have been adopted by God through Jesus Christ, and now I'm a child of God as the Jewish people were children of God in Hebrews, in Exodus chapter 12. There is no difference. See, if you have a man-made religion, you have no ground for adoption. But when we proclaim Christ Jesus, it's no a game. Somebody told me in Argentina, you are too narrow. It's only one door. That's confrontational. It is confrontational. And I hope it is. And I hope that confrontation brings you on your knees and say, God, I tell you, yes, we have a Memorial Day. And somebody who is Hebrew by race can tell me, no, sir, you don't. Because Memorial Day is only by the Hebrew nation and by the adopted people of the Hebrew nation. And I have been adopted by the Hebrew nation. When I became saved, I'm a Hebrew citizen of heaven. I'm just one with somebody who was born Hebrew. So much that Romans 2 verse 29 said that not only a person who is circumcised in the flesh is a Hebrew, but who is circumcised in the heart. And I have to call God my Father. But I cannot call God my Father until He adopted me as His son. You got it? And when God adopted me as His son, then I can say God my Father. And the only way He adopted me is through the only agency that God has through the centuries. This is called the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the agency. When we go to Jesus, He is the one who presented to the Father. Now look, let's go to John chapter 1 and show you. It is not difficult. Somebody who was very intellectual also, I'm still recalling things from Argentina. Very intellectual fellow. He came to me and said, you know, your sermons are too simple. I said, do you understand it? He said, yes. Well, that's the game. When we speak, we want you to understand it. Do you like it? No, I don't care about God. Then you understand it. See, if we make this complicated, then it leaves you with arguments. But if we present it with simplicity, that forces you to think, I have to depend on God or I'm dead. Now, let me show you John Gospel chapter 1. You study in Sunday school this. And let me show you verse 18, because it's a remarkable verse in John Gospel, chapter 1, if I can get this Bible open. Here it is. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So that locks you and me to only one resource. If I want to become a citizen of heaven, and I want to celebrate Memorial Day, and I want to one day end up in that heaven, and avoid hell, as Revelation said, and the brimstone fire that will be there forever. When God is not there, hate is there. When God is not there, love is removed. And my destination, to avoid the destination of hell forever, I need to be a citizen of heaven. So that when I die, I'm sure I have a transfer to heaven. But the only way to go there is not to apply to Bethel Baptist Church. You can listen to Bethel Baptist Church. It's not to apply to the Roman Church or the Protestant Church or any church. It's to apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to go to Jesus and apply. I remember when I tried to come to America, the lady in the consulate said, you need to apply. And she gave me a date and an application form. And the same thing with Christians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Here's your date. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you are not a Christian, if you are not a citizen of heaven yet, here is what it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee, and a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, there is no tomorrow, there is no next hour, next minute in our life. Now is the time to make business with God. Here is the date. God doesn't doesn't have an office that is closed at 5 p.m. and then you have to come next week. You come to God today. If you are not a child of God, you come to God today. And you say to God, I want the application. And what's the application? You know, hundreds of people would love to have a very long application where they can show their credentials. I remember in the application to the American embassy, where do you study, what do you do, what kind of work you did, they want a big performance so that you qualify on your merits to come. And how much money you're going to bring and how much this and the other. Ramil can tell you, he became a citizen. The same thing happened to all of us. They want to know, who are you? How big are you? That we will honor you with our citizenship. But it's different in heaven. The application that you do on the Lord Jesus is so entirely different that so many people said, get out of here. Believe me, because it's so simple. It is found in the Gospel of Luke. If you go to Luke Gospel in chapter 18, here's found. Let me start reading from verse 9. And the application was given to an accountant. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 9 in Luke Gospel 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trust in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, a doctor in the law of the gospel, and the other a publican, an accountant, serving the foreign country of Rome. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Or even as this publican. Can you imagine somebody praying with you? They say, let's pray, the pastor, and somebody prays, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like Victor. can you imagine somebody praying like that? You know, that's what's taking place. Boy, the Bible, people said, the Bible is really funny sometimes, but it's true. The Bible is true. Simple. All right? The guy is so big and so good, he said, I'm so good better than this guy here. God, you accept me. And look at verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes all that I possess. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the embassy wants. When you apply to an embassy, say, how much money you have, how much you do this and the other. They want to know how big are you. But look at when you apply to God. Verse 13. And the accountant, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but they smoke upon his breast, saying, God, God, be merciful unto me. Now, what that tells you? That tells you that the accountant is saying, there is nothing good I can say, God. God, there is nothing good I can bring to you. God, if you expect something from me, you're dead. But I depend on you. God, be merciful unto me. Now, when you do that with the whole heart, you don't have to wait a year until you are saved. I have people calling me even from Mexico, still saying, Pastor, I'm praying God merciful to me, I'm not saved. That's not true. But look at verse 14. I tell you, Jesus speaking, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. You made only one application with a true heart. When God moves your heart, when God burns your heart, you make that application. God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the rest is history. You don't need to show to God who you are. You don't need to apply and tell God how great you are and how many things you have. You just tell God, I'm nothing. But I'm coming to the adopting agency to see Jesus, and I want his signature in my papers. I just want everything Jesus had. I want everything Jesus possessed. I want the whole cover of my life with the life of Jesus. And then, God, you take care of that. And God looks to you, know you, and see Jesus in you, and you are justified. The reason that you and I are believers is not because we have been so smart and so powerful that now we have taken this religion into our heart. It's because of the mercy of God that He has given you light to understand that we are nothing, and because we are nothing, Jesus is everything to us. That's the simple way. And the greatest part is that you and I have a Memorial Day. The Memorial Day is that day, not the 10th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Your Memorial Day is that day when you recall in your mind that God was real to you. Some people can say it was a period of time where I remember that from this day to this day, I remember that God was real to me. And I become. Some people can remember one day when they say, I remember that somebody prayed with me and I became peaceful in my heart. I remember myself a day with an American pastor, took my uncle's church, and he asked the church, is any rebel that need to be saved? I never forgot this story. And my aunt said, yes, my nephew. But he's too big. He's a soccer player. He's making money at 18 years old. And he cared less. Well, my aunt was wrong. This pastor came. And I saw a man crazy behind, at that time the Nets were very close, the stadium full, 40, 50,000 people. And that man crazy wanted to jump on the thing. So I told one of the guys, who is that guy? He said, let him come to the locker room. In well-dressed, and he came. Pastor Contreras said, so long, and you have no God? You know. He said, you're a good player. But you can die right taking that shower. At that time, the shower has an electric button. You put it. It was with electric heat, the shower. If one wire goes wrong over there, you die. Where do you go? Never forget. Simple like that. And he said, why don't you kneel down? I was completely nude, taking a shower. Why don't you kneel down? And I looked, the other players over there looking on. Why don't you kneel down and pray that God will save you? And that day, I walked 75 blocks to my house. I told my mother and father, nobody believed it. No, no, you. Finally, on Sunday, I had to wait 7 days. When the pastor was preaching, I stood up and I said, Pastor, I really have God. And my aunt stood in front of me and said, really? You know, look at how bad. That's the way, my friend. I remember December the 23rd. I remember. And some of you remember. We have a Memorial Day. Not because we have empowered something, not because we have accomplished something, it's because our Savior have accomplished everything. And one day in His mercy, He let us know how terrible and sin we were. And now here I see Jesus saving me, covering me with His grace and His power. I hope that not only you celebrate Memorial Day in America, which we have all the right to celebrate for this beautiful country, but I hope that you here or on the internet or in the cassette ministry or tape ministry or CD ministry, that you too at home may say, I'm a Christian, yes or not? Do I have the right to celebrate Memorial Christian Day, yes or not? And rather than bringing a flower to somebody who is dead, a Memorial Day, the Christian Day, the Christian Memorial Day, you don't bring a flower to a dead, you bring joy to somebody who is alive forevermore. God has removed the curse of hell from you and now has given you life and life eternal. Yes, we Christians have the right to celebrate Memorial Day. Thank you, Father, that your word is always so powerful. Thank you, Father, that Memorial Day for us is remembering that one day the light of heaven and the power of Christ came into our life, and now we know you. Thank you, Lord, that we are citizens of heaven, that we belong to a nation who never will end, the heaven itself. Thank you for Christ Jesus, and thank you, Father, for adopting us into the kingdom of God. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Noriel. And will you stand, please, for the benediction? We remind you again, today is a fellowship luncheon, and right after the service. Father, we are grateful that we are still free. In spite of our imperfections, forgive our nation for trying to move you out of their business. Forgive our senators and our House of Representatives for not having the courage to stand for you, Father. We are grateful for a president who closes his speech with God bless America. He really believes it. Lord, we're going to say what Jesus said, without you, without me, you can do nothing. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. Protect our nation that we may have a strong and mighty nation to keep on with the gospel. And Father, for those who believe not, let them know that there is a possibility of believing. And that possibility is narrow. Yes, it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through the church. It's not through a different confession. It's through only one confession. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Lord, even that we know we cannot say it until you put those words in our mouth. So Father, keep on saving, and we will keep on proclaiming. In Jesus we pray. Amen.